do you have any sort of thumbnail sketch of how much more mail and what you expect to get out of it and how that's all going to work?
Well,
55, yeah, because, you know, 55 grand is a lot to put into direct mail. So how much do you expect to get back and what's the plan?
I think we'll get at least it will at least pay for itself. Otherwise, I wouldn't be planning to do it. But what we'll do probably is a direct mail in between fund drives, and when renewal time comes. And right now, we're actually getting into the process of doing something that Michael alluded to, because we have 300 or 400 film club members, but there's 600 members in our film club database. So we're going to target all of those people who are not current film club members but are on the film club database, and hit them up for $150 each, which is the cost of the film club for a year. So there'll be targeted ones like that, and there'll be targeted ones around particular occurrences like our birthday, stuff like that.
Okay. Thank you. That's a little clearer. Okay. Does anyone else have any sort of line item informational questions for Bernard at this point?
This is Barbara with a question.
Sure.
You said you gave up AP. You're not budgeting for that. What was the name of the service you found to be better?
It's a local LA service called CNS, City News Service. And they actually are really good because, you know, we're focused on local news here. So they give us the beat for the whole day right across LA and into Riverside and other counties around here.
Mm-hmm.
And, we actually had them before, Barbara, but we canceled them. Because of the cost when their contract came up. However, I was significantly courted by their chief executive, and he made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Thank you.
Okay.
All
right. Well, I think if you want, Bernard, dinner is probably on the horizon at this point. We are going to go through some more of the feedback that we've received, but my guess is that we'll probably... We'll probably need a little more time to come to terms with some of this stuff, is my guess.
Yes, I can see that.
Yes, but I'll keep you posted.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. So at this point, because I want to be respectful of all the feedback that we've received and be thorough, I think it might be good to get to the minority report or the dissenting report and sort of go through some of that stuff. Is that okay with people? Do you have enough energy? Do we need a break?
I have one question about the finance committee report.
Yeah.
That's very basic. Are the names here... Do those three people, plus I guess Michael is on it, is the committee four people?
No, the committee never met again, just to be clear. The committee met prior to our last scheduled regular meeting. The committee raised questions about the support for the larger originally... anticipated listener revenues that Richard, I think, referred to in his question, in response to which Bernard eventually produced a budget with a reduction in payroll and a reduction in the anticipated listener support revenues. And the Finance Committee never met again after that. So the document Kim sent is... by the people on the Finance Committee that she spoke with and organized to that position, not at a Finance Committee meeting.
I was just asking how many members the Finance Committee has.
There are at least four other members.
Whose names are not on here, I mean.
Whose names are not on there.
Oh, okay. So it's about seven or eight people.
All right, so as a protocol, let me just sort of ask what makes sense here, because we got a lot of feedback and some of it was sort of letter style. And I think because we do have an audience for these calls and it might make sense to do some selected reading from the document so people can figure out what we're talking about. And does anyone object to that or and I'm going to try to pull out what the issues are that are being raised, so we can see if we think they have any validity or not.
I think the easiest part of it to deal with might be the lens of comparison of proposed budget numbers. The table.
Oh. Okay. Let me take a look.
Management fiscal year 2014, management fiscal year 2013. KK, this can't go.
Okay. I've got four attachments here. I've got FundDrive stats, comparison of management 2014 before and after LSB meeting, management versus finance committee July financials, SB chart. Which one are you talking about? The SB chart?
I printed it out. I don't know what it was labeled as a document, but it says comparison of KPFK fiscal year 2014 proposed budget numbers, and it's got five narrow columns and a wider one that talks about what each discrepancy or difference is. It just seems to summarize.
Yeah, going through that line by line might be a good way to do it. We'll have to do a little bit of talking so it's detectable to people what we're talking about, but I think that's a good way to do it. Okay. All right. So there's a few of these, but let me start with the income side, because normally if you can figure out what we think is a sound income projection, that solves some of the problems going through the expenses part, because one has to correspond to the other.
Question, Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Could you please name the name of the document you're looking at so I can have the right one?
Yes. I am looking at SB chart for report to PNB Ray budget. It's a 5-column document, and it has the number in the budget, the actuals as of July 30th, projections for the end of the year, and a, shall we say, minority number or a minority suggestion if they feel the number should change, how it should change. And I think maybe if we go through those, we will see what we think is valid and what we don't think is valid. Okay. So in the listener support column, we basically have a suggestion to take things back to about $3 million. KPFK's 2012 actuals are 2.9. 2013 actuals are projected at about 3.04, which is about what was budgeted last year in the final version of the budget, and we're hoping or projecting that that will go up to 3.162 million, which is approximately 100,000 over actuals and 162,000 over budget, for what it's worth.
Well, I'm not sure you made it over budget. It's about 120,000 over the projected for this current fiscal year.
Well, I'm going to say what I said before, which is that I think that the FundDrive projections are sort of at the top of what you could reasonably expect. And they don't leave a lot of room for fund drive slumps, which happen. They happen to everybody. That said, I'm glad it's not 3.3. That was a much crazier number, and I appreciate the fact that it's come down. I think that's a good process. The question is whether it's come down quite enough for people to feel comfortable with it. If you take a look at the assumptions, the assumptions are for $2 million gross fund drives, one in May and one in October, a $900,000 fund drive in May, $550,000 in December, and $520,000 in August. Which are certainly, you know, ambitious goals with an 82% fulfillment rate. So that's one question.
Tracy, this is Jim.
Yeah.
Have I cleared up on this now?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay. In going over the written report, it talks about the lack of Gary Null participation in the fund drive. I'm just curious, what kind of impact is that as far as the LA area?
Michael, John, yeah.
Well, he's been up and down in LA. Sometimes he's a bigger draw than others. The last time that those were the really high cost items that, although they produced what looked like, you know, high pledge amounts, more than 50% of it was going to either Gary Null or shipping. I think he might be back. It's hard to say what he's going to do or not do. I think that there are, you know, local fundraisers that have matched and exceeded, you know, some of his totals, you know, from time to time. The local public affairs morning shows, especially, and evening drive time are, you know, quite productive. Health and spirituality programming and special fund drive programming that Christine Blaisdell does, you know, often draws a similar audience and a similar pledge total with a smaller cost to us than Gary Null stuff. You know, if somebody, for example, if somebody pledged $250 for the water purification thing, the fact that we only realized $115 out of the $250 is not clear to them. They think they gave the station $250, and they're not that likely to give anything else again. If you know, you have a $100 premium that we clear $90 out of, we're probably doing a lot better because there's a much likely chance that we'll get, you know, another donation. Even from the same person during the course of the year.
Tracy, can you hear me? Tracy, can you hear me?
Sorry.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can now. Sorry.
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry. There's a problem with the cell phone, and I don't know if you can hear me well. I would say that Gary Null not only contributed to the fund drive, but he was also responsive, and I was talking with Bernard shortly after. He called Gary Null on one item, and Gary was very open to making changes, working with Christine, working with the station to improve the response and the monetary amounts. I understand that part of this problem was caused by his not being paid by the station for the premiums that were actually shipped and billed. So that was something that somehow came out of, I don't know where that originated, but there was a problem with him being paid. But Gary Null not only contributes in the fund drive with a great following of an audience, but he also was on Roy of Hollywood, or was on, one night a week for 6 hours, and drew a large audience there and had a pretty loyal following. So, in effect, by not taking care of business in a way that would have helped to keep him on the air, we ended up with a gap. I don't know whether there are plans to bring him back in the same way that he was on before, whether there are going to be some modifications in the fund drive. I haven't heard much more about that. Have you heard anything more about that, Michael, as far as Gary Null coming back?
Well, I'll just say my understanding about the contradiction was not about him getting paid. He there was a miscommunication about a premium he arranged for WBAI, and information was sent to somebody's secretary and not received. I think that's been cleared up.
That was taken care of.
I'll just say I was at the station today taking calls, you know, in the phone room, and there's a sign posted saying that.
Donna, I'm on a PNB national call. Right.
Oops.
Okay, continue.
Anyway, so the signpost is saying that Gary notes green stuff, red stuff, something else from the May fund drive had still not been received by the station and therefore hadn't been sent out yet to donors. But I'm not sure what the cause of that lack of receipt was. I don't think it was non-payment on our part. I think it's just slow delivery. So I think that Bernard's been in touch with him, and you know, they find out whatever the differences are. I think, you know, he'll probably be back on our air at some point. I'm just saying that a couple of those issues that people have had about the high-priced premiums are specifically Gary Null premiums, this water purification system, which, you know, normally the ratio that we look for on, you know, the thank you premium to the size of the pledge is like, you know, 9 times or something what the cost to us is for the, and in that case it was not even twice. You know, I mean, the charge for the premium was barely exceeded, you know, doubling the cost of the item to us.
Right.
Or didn't exceed it. So I think that's what Brenda was referring to, that we can't really continue to do that. It's counterproductive premium. So I think there are other things that Gary offered that are more in line with the rest of what we're offering, which are, you know, books and, you know, supplements and stuff like that, that, you know, are, you know, more reasonably priced within the range of what we're asking for as a pledge. And I'm sure at some point those will be offered again.
Okay, I'm going to move us down the list again. I still have some questions about what the right listener support number is, but let's continue. We have a slight nit about corporate match, basically doubling over the projected actuals. It's a small number, though, about 1,500 as opposed to 3,000. I have a question regarding the major donor numbers.
Can I say something about that, too?
Yeah.
Well,
of course.
I mean, most of the other numbers there, looking at column O and D on the original budget figures, fiscal year 2014 versus projected 2013, the major donor is projected 18,000. The actual is 43 for the last, you know, the current year. Card donations is the only one that's really up because there's apparently a sort of bidding war going on with the people who have been providing us with the cards and the one that the other stations are using, and they're each pledging to match the offer and sweeten the pot. So that's going to go up one way or the other. But, you know, special events is budgeted at 27, and the projected for this year is 62. Grants, you know, are obviously down from the CPB because of that problem of the overpriced.
It worries me a little that the projected FY 2013s are a certain number in the budget, and you have your local finance committee, or at least some members of it, saying that the numbers are way off and they have wildly different projections. And I think there's a couple of categories here where that's the case. It's why we need financial statements. Because we get into a little bit of he said, she said about what the numbers actually are. Okay, so one question that I have, Michael, is if we're projecting direct mail printing and postage expenses of some $55,000, we seem to only be projecting that we're going to get $34,000 in donations from that, unless those numbers are being placed into listener support. Can you tell me how that shakes out? In other words, where are you putting the revenue from your direct mail, and how much are you actually expecting to get?
I think the anticipation is some of that's going into listener support because, again, for example, like one of the premiums we offer is this film club membership, which is people get to see a certain number of free films every month that are shown in local theaters that are supportive. And that's a $175 donation,
mm-hmm.
for which there's no cost to the station except that, you know, people join it and they drop out. So one of those mailings that sort of described it as a mailing to bring people back who were previously film club members to have them renew their film club membership. and that would show up in the list of the support, as opposed to, you know.
Okay. Yeah. And okay. And on card donations, I guess you're switching vendors, and so you're expecting a better deal.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, in other words, we were not getting as good a deal apparently as the other stations that have the same common vendor was when Bernard informed the person that had been our provider. That person said they will match or exceed any offer they received. So I think it went back this summer at the national level to see if they can actually get a better offer for everybody from the guy that we've been using. One way or the other, either we'll move to the one that everybody else was, or everybody else will move to this guy at a better deal, and there will be an increase in card donation, realized income.
Okay. Well, And then there's a whole bunch of stuff on the other side of the ledger. It's going to take like a million years. Okay. Why don't we do a little bit of temperature taking on the income number? Because I hate to go through the expenses without paying some attention to the income. I think the Finance Committee has received the whole narrative about some of these numbers, in addition to taking a look at the chart and see sort of what the suggested changes are. Let's see, what would the net difference, what would the net reduction be if, say, you took all of these suggestions? You'd be working with a 3.37 as opposed to 3.574. You'd be taking $250,000 in income out of this budget, which, of course, would be substantial. So maybe we can do a little temperature checking about people's perceptions of the validity of some of these concerns, and would they modify some of the income numbers, and if so, by how much and how? And I'll tell you my thoughts, but I'd like to hear some other folks weigh in.
Arpal?
Yeah, Arpal, go ahead.
My major thought is, as you pointed out before, we have a lot of he said, she said, and there is, I don't see how we're going to do this. I mean, the budget we've been given says, and it says FY 2012 audited, but it is not the audited. So we're getting numbers from management. We're getting numbers from the Finance Committee, and they're disputing the basis for all of this. And without something neutral and objective from the national office, the financial statements, I don't see how we can do this unless we're going to get hyper granular and start counting the money ourselves, which is not going to happen. So I'm really looking at this, and I'm kind of stopped, so to speak, in terms of exactly what can we say, because when people are saying, you know, person X says it's this amount, person Y says it's that amount, and they're both there, and they both claim to have the actual amount, what are we, you know, what is somebody 3,000 miles away supposed to do, or even, you know, 250 miles away? It's really impossible here, I think, without something out of the national office saying, here is the number, and that's the number, and we all say, well, that's the number, and it's not arguable. So I'm sort of flabbergasted.
Okay, can we go back to this chart for a minute? The one that said,
okay.
And you look at the,
Michael, just as a process thing, I'm trying to take the temperature of the people that aren't from LA. It's just a temperature taking. We're not doing anything right now. I just want to hear what people's thoughts are. So you don't need to defend anything right now. Let's just hear what people have to say. Is there anyone else who has something to say who's not from LA? Okay. This is what I'm going to say. I think Arpal's right that some of this is difficult to sort of sensibly go through. because there's great discrepancies in what the actuals actually are. I believe that the actuals for 2012 are reasonably accurate and that that should provide some moderate level of guidance, but again, without an audit, they're not final. But that may provide some way to kind of take a look at what can reasonably be expected. My sense here, as I said, is that in some categories, we're kind of looking at the top of the line, and I'm worried about what happens if there's a slump, if the premium costs blow out of control once again, as of course they did earlier this year. And if we're looking at a projected, I don't know, $180,000 deficit this year, then there are some questions about what we're going to do differently in FY 2014 so as not to get into that position again. And I'm not sure that I see a clear answer except that we're going to raise more money but less premium costs. And I need a little bit of clarification about how exactly we're going to do that. So that's kind of where I am. Is there anyone else who's not from LA who wants to comment? Then we'll go to Michael.
Richard,
go ahead.
I hear what our Paul is saying, and I appreciate his word, hypogranular. I like that. I'm going to work that in somewhere. You know, this is my first year on the Finance Committee, and I don't know how. I know that at various stations, the overall board, I think, not just the Finance Committee, has mandated that people be laid off so that the budgets come into balance, and that hasn't been done. And I'm wondering how, you know, these two people that will supposedly be laid off this year, that weren't laid off last year, how do we put any teeth in that? Do we just say, you know, you guys need to lay those people off, and if they don't, then we just say, oh, that's tough. Are there any teeth that we can put in that? And then when we're talking about the premium cost that we're talking about it being over, it looks to be like over a couple of $100,000. And, you know, it's pretty easy to say, well, we're not going to get those expensive premiums. But it seems to me like we need more information about exactly what kind of premiums that you're going to get, and you know, in some way to pin that down a little better, because it just seems so open-ended. And there seemed like there was another thing in here I was going to say something about, but I don't know what it is. Thank you.
Yeah, I think if you're looking at a 10-to-1 or a 9-to-1 ratio, a little bit of math is in order. I think the assumptions are to raise a gross of 3.970, you know, less fulfillment. And if you're on a 10-to-1 basis, that would suggest $397,000 in premium costs to raise that much money, since most people get premiums, maybe a bit less. But 312 might be a little on the conservative side, even if you keep that 10-to-1 ratio. So I don't know if that's workable, is what I'm saying.
Well, no, but the 3.9 is pledges. It's not realized. The premiums only go to people who actually pay their pledges, so you're talking about 10% of a smaller figure.
That letter that we got, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
No, go ahead. It's okay. We can be a little informal. Go ahead.
That letter we got talks about this year's ratio as being approximately 1-to-6, and that last year, the year before that, 12, 1-to-8. And like you say, moving that ratio up to 1-to-10 is pretty optimistic.
Well, it's something to look at. You know, I think goals are good, and it's good that KPFK is identifying the problem and try to do something about it. The question is whether the implementation will be to get to that 1 to 10 goal right away. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a lot of the disproportion was that one particular item, which was particularly the first time it was offered, was a big attractor of pledges, like, you know, off the, you know, people just ringing the bell off the hook, you know, when it was offered, because it was, you know, such a good deal, quote unquote, for them, but not for us. And that really drastically skewed the entire, that's that water purification system from Gary Nell. That skewed the entire October, and then it was briefly offered in May, although in May it was offered at a better differential between Nell and us, and only a few units, as Murder mentioned, and not going to be offered again. So the rest of the premiums are often either their PRA, and so it's a, you know, we're recycling the money and reducing eventually the, you know what I mean? It redounds to the PRA's benefit and therefore might reduce the amount of fundraising we have to do for the PRA on other days of drives. And
no less?
You know, the downloads and other items. I've been pushing for increasing the number of premiums that are like training, access to programmers, you know, things that are no cost to us, essentially. So basically, there's a plan in the works. If you look at the letter, I attached the document that Bernard sent us about different plans they had for increasing listener revenues. It doesn't speak about that other side of it, but the same thing is hold. But what I want to say about the discrepancy thing is looking at that chart that you pointed us to. If you look at the management fiscal year 2014 budget and the KK fiscal year 2014 budget, that's the first and the last, essentially, kind of put your finger. So apart from the listener support, which is cut by $162,000, website income is the same. Corporate match is a little bit lower, but $1,200, I'm not going to settle a budget over, I don't think. Major donor is a little, is 10,000 compared to 18,000, but the actual major donor was quite a bit higher than 18,000 on the current year. So I don't see any reason to lower it down to 10 if we actually did more than double that. The 5,001 donation above 1K is the same on the two columns. Moving capital campaign, there's nothing there. Card donations, she's lowering, but in fact, there's no question that we're going to make more in card donations next year than this year. And this year, we already had 106. Community special events, she cut, but again, the 27,000 is a very conservative projection because for this year, we already are over 60,000 on community events. Grant CPV is the same. Grant, you know, the FSRN one just is through anyway, but it's the same. The other, the 3,600 income is the same.
I understand what you're saying.
Like $500. Main cut is essentially the listener support. I think that there's a justifiable case to be made that the last May fund drive, we were over $200,000 over goal. We're in the midst of a fund drive now, which seems to be doing pretty well at, you know, $40,000 a day or better many days. I think it's a realistic projection. At $3.3 million, you could probably argue with to realize that. At $3.1 something, it's about $120,000 above, you know, what we're doing for the whole year, and the trend has been up. So I think that the other little quibbling stuff, I don't understand why she cut or raised any of those particularly. And the expenses, you can talk about. The expenses are the one I responded to about
Okay. We're not up to expenses yet.
Okay.
let's not go there quite yet because it's just too much for people to keep in their head at once.
Okay, but if you look down that column of figures, it's like you can quibble about this and that, but most of the ones she's trying to cut were already conservative. The community events was conservative, the major donors was conservative, and the others are the same. So, you know, the main question is, do we think we can raise, you know, over $3.1 million from listeners on air?
Yeah.
And again, I'll point out that this is based on 89 days as compared to 92 days, and, you know, so there's 3 days of give there, there's, you know.
I think essentially that's
So, you know,
I think
we make $40,000 a day.
Yeah.
Even in a bad day.
I would agree that essentially that's the question, whether 3.16 million is accurate for listener support. I'm not terribly concerned about the other income categories at this point. I think the question that the committee needs to consider is that this is being proposed along with a pretty substantial decrease in premium costs, and whether we have confidence that that can be implemented or whether that sounds a little ambitious.
But the premium costs are a new expense, and we simply would defer talking about that. So we'll get to that. I can talk about that again, and you'll see what our figures did and what its figures did.
Yeah. Let me take a look at the premium numbers here and see what we have going back to 2012.
You know, there's no question that KPFA is out of line with the rest of the network on a premium cost.
KPFK.
KPFA, we here in L.A. need to bring down our premium cost. And, you know, that's been the consensus of the entire LSB for 3 years. It was the proposal from the frat that Kim was on. And this is the first effort to actually try to build it into the budget. That it's not down to where it should be, but at least it's moving in the right direction. It increases PRA premiums and it decreases the overall premium cost, meaning that the other high-end premiums are being chopped out, bringing it more into line with what it ought to be. You know, this is kind of a transitional budget in a sense, because you can't do it all in one piece in 1 year without having a lot more, you know, buy-in, education of the listeners, you know, engaging the programmers in coming up with premiums that match their programs that have no cost to us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's got to be a longer-term project than just snap the fingers and it happens. But this is an effort to move in that direction.
Well, here's what concerns me. We had financials given out, I don't know how accurate they were, but we had financials given out in February of 2013 at the National Board meeting, and KPFK's premium expenses for that quarter were crazy high. They were almost $200,000.
Yes.
Just for that quarter, just for the first quarter.
Yes.
I mean,
it was
Barney crazy. Yeah.
That was the Gary Noel Water Purification System. We probably did a thousand units, you know, and, you know, it looked like we raised a lot of money, but more than half of what we raised for all those things went either to Gary Noel or to shipping.
Right.
So
what I'm saying is that the premium costs for the rest of the year, including another like $1 million fund drive, are being projected in this budget as not very much, 100,000 plus. And realistically, I think on that end that Kim might be right, but the number is actually higher, because I don't see how you got through the remaining two quarters, because you had a fund drive in February, you had a fund drive in May, and you have a fund drive in August. without spending at least another $200,000 on premiums. So I'm worried that the premium number that you're working with is a bit low, and that in lowering that number, that you're almost kind of in double jeopardy in terms of what's really possible. Because I remember KPFK premium numbers getting up pretty close to $400,000, $450,000. So when you tell me that they were only three something, and I know that they were two something as of January, I'm having a credibility issue. So that's my primary concern. It's not that I don't think that you can raise the money. I just don't know that you can raise the money with $312,000 in premium expenses.
I do know that they had a tremendous response to several premiums that were given to us for free. The premium was a digital download of like a wealth creation system, and another one that was like, you know, health oriented. Both of them cost us nothing at all, and both of them had very, very high response rates. So I think that's what that reflects. I don't know if you can sustain that. You can't keep coming back to the same well. There's a lot of people have gotten that, those particular ones, but I think just for us, you know, they're trying to do is to move towards many more of those, or, you know, the film club, again, costs us nothing because it's sort of promotional for the theaters, you know, without anybody saying that's what it is, because you can't, you know, do that. But, you know, the sense that people get two free tickets to see First Run movies at, you know, a couple of three different theater chains that carry a lot of progressive film documentaries and other films.
Okay.
You know, so a lot of that are zero cost premiums that, you know, have a good response. The discrepancy, you know, I think that we're in struggle with the whole infomercial approach to the fund drives, and it's still in struggle. I honestly can't say it's not, but more of it are at least things that are not costing us as much as some of the Gary Null premiums, especially at Water Purify, but even some of the others did.
Yeah. Okay. Finish up.
Well, just that, you know, Kim's figures lower the amount of money being spent on PRA premiums and increases the amount of money being spent on others. And I think the point of the budget is that we're trying to move in the other direction, and the budget reflects the intention. I mean, that's the point of the budget, is to try to figure out where you're trying to go. And that's where the station is trying to go. So that's why the budget shows it.
Okay. So I'm trying to look at the major discrepancies in expenses. We already talked about the election expenses. We know that's on the table.
Having seen those figures that they're all sent out, we probably will have to budget more. I don't think there's any. I misunderstood, I guess, the discussion we had about KPFT. I thought that was just a salary figure for the their LES for 3 months.
Tracy, this is Richard. May I ask a question of Mike?
Sure.
Michael, on the fifth chart that Kim sent us, it's all about, what's it called, fund drive stats for 2013. Bernard said even tonight that one of the things that was justification for the larger projection was that all the drives had exceeded the goal, and that the most recent one had exceeded it by 200,000. Do you see that chart that she included there, where she has the budget goal and the total pledges?
I don't think I have that one right in front of me.
Fund drive stats for 2013 as of June 3rd.
Hang on a second. Let's see, which of the attachments is that?
I'm sorry, what?
Portion of budget meeting, SB chart management versus finance committee, July financials. Oh, fund drive stats. Okay, let me see if I can view that one. Hang on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Opening up my computer.
And I guess my question is, are her total pledges correct?
Yeah, total pledges, okay. She's selling, I guess, at 83,000 over. I'm not sure where she got that from.
The first one, the October one, shows that y'all were under about $48,000.
The second one, we're over about 65.
And then the next one, you're under, 38, 37, some. And then the last one, that was supposedly over 200,000 more, is really only about 83,000. Is that correct?
I think they had a revised goal of 900,000. Actually, she has the budget goal at 950, but I don't think that's correct. I think they revised their goal to 900 and then got over a million. So I think that's part of the discrepancy between the two figures, is that her statement of the goal was different than the goal that they announced and had.
Okay. That's my question. Thank you.
So, anyway, if you look at the per day, you'll see that.
No, I was just looking at the total and thinking that what we were told is not quite right. Just wondering.
Okay. Well, on the good news front, if there is good news, in looking through the expenses, it seems to me that the discrepancies that are substantial are not that many. There's lots of little suggestions one way or the other, but they're fairly minor. And basically the discrepancies are around realistic premium costs, which we've talked about, and the ratio of that to listener support, and the election expenses that are not in there.
Right.
And that essentially is the gist of what the difference is.
Yeah, it's the website, which, again, that's an investment in trying to generate more website income and have a more interactive website. It's the printing and the mailing for the direct mail, which, again, is an attempt to try to do more off-air fundraising. All of those, I think, are legitimate proposals, and then you see how they work. You know, putting it into practice, and then you try to hold somebody accountable for. I mean, I've urged the manager to come up with specific dollar goals. I still haven't seen those for some of those things, but.
Okay.
The idea of the budget in my mind was that it's not going to be exactly based on last year's actuals, because last year's actuals are problematic. You want to make the experiment and try some things and try to improve. You know, your take from not being on the air, and you know,
oh, sure.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
So that's where that, you know, I would not reduce the website. I would not reduce the direct mail at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I would
if last year's budget was a deficit, there's obviously room for improvement.
Yes,
yeah.
And I would try to go with the increase in PRA premiums and overall reduction in premiums, because we want to try to reduce our premium costs, which are out of whack. So then at least you have something to try to hold somebody to that says, look, you said you were going to, we said we were going to reduce the number of days we do on-air fundraising. We said we were going to reduce the cost of premiums. Did you do it?
Or okay.
If not, why not?
Okay. All right. So we've been kind of free-forming, and perhaps we should stop because some people are very quiet. Is there anyone who wants to say something and needs to be on the stack?
Well, I guess I'll say one more thing about that chart that was just referred to.
All right. Go ahead.
It's $47,000 a day on that May 14 to 24 fundraise, which is, that's a good direction to be moving in terms of, having been at 37,000 a day or 41. You can quibble about exactly how much money was taken in, but there's no question that the per day is up, in a good direction.
Okay, I have a couple things to say. Who else is on the stack? Raul, I think I heard. Who else?
Yes.
Anybody else? Okay, Raul, go ahead.
And I apologize deeply for the lack of the financial statements at this point. But we are currently in the process of compiling the financial statements. Since we're down to the wire on the audit, we're just doing the fine-tuning of the draft. But as we were discussing the premiums for Los Angeles, I was going through my records here on the process of the closing, and it looks to me that LA KPFK had already spent about $450,000 through July 31st of premium expenses.
Right.
And again, not sure if this is the amount that's going to be showing up in the financial statement, because some of these are premium inventory that probably have not been sent out or matched with the corresponding revenue. So, but looking at the records that we currently have right now on the check disbursements and the payment that they have made so far, KPFK has spent $441,000 in premiums. And again, mm-hmm. that may not necessarily be the expense mm-hmm. item that's going to be showing in the financial statement, because some of them are premium inventory and it's going to be capitalized as an asset. And then recognize the revenue, it will be like expense. But on the cash basis, that is what is spent so far.
Okay. That's good to know. Thank you. That was one of the things that I wanted to ask you, was whether you had any numbers about how much premium money was out the door. So, okay. The other thing that I would say is there's something a little bit, I understand that this is a done deal and there's probably nothing that can be done about it, but it's kind of sad to see a union raise causing layoffs, which seems to be kind of what's going on here. It's there's sometimes I wish we would sort of know what our right hand and left hand is doing at the same time, because that's unfortunate. It looks like there's no way to avoid it. But to say that the costs of negotiated labor increase or the elimination of two staff positions is kind of miserable. It should not be that way.
I can't say more about it, except I think that probably at least one of the cuts is going to be a management cut.
Yeah.
And I think they're looking at, a sort of attrition, finding.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm not asking you to say specific things, and I don't want you to. I'm just saying it's kind of...
I'm just saying that cut management is not, that's not such a bad thing. So that's all. Just it's not, I don't think anybody's losing their job because of the, settlement.
Good. That shouldn't happen. Hey, I guess we're kind of back to temperature taking. Let me give a couple of options at this point for what we can do, because it's 7:45 p.m. Pacific and this meeting cannot go on past 8:30 Pacific, which is not too much time. I think we've identified what the primary issues are. We haven't identified what to do about them. So we can either sort of hack away at that for 45 minutes, or we can sort of take this all under advisement, think about it, and schedule another meeting to sort of act on or resolve KPFK's budget. And that is totally up to the will of the committee. And I know sometimes doing line item number work is exhausting and people may feel like they're about to die and just can't do any more of this, especially people that are not on the Pacific Coast, for whom it's later.
Okay,
so if you guys could sort of tell me how much energy you have for going for 30 or 45 minutes, that would help us decide what to do next. Hello?
Well,
is anybody awake?
Awake, yes, but energy is limited.
Yeah, as I mentioned at the beginning, I'm still fighting off a major infection, so ending sooner would be fine with me. I think I would probably go back to Bernard with maybe a question of the funding for larger funding for the election, because I just understood what we did with KPSC, so that's on me. And I think we should wait for the 2012 audited figures that we can then plug in and use for comparison, and
yeah,
he'll be happy to have them too, I'm sure, and as well as Anthony Iberola, and maybe we can do some additional tweaking at the local level and look at it again.
Okay. Two factual chunks that maybe Raul can help us with between now and then would be, Raul, if you have any take on that premium number and sort of some rough cut for how much of it is inventory and how much of that is used premiums, that would be very helpful.
If I could say something about that, look at the October.
Michael, wait a second, okay? Let me finish what I'm saying to Raul. I will let you speak. I just want to... Okay, that would be the first thing. And I think the second thing that we could probably use a little bit of real numbers on is whether the reduction in the depreciation schedule from 80-something to 60-something sort of tracks with what the national office is doing, because it's not going to help us if those numbers are 20 grand out of whack. And I don't know if they are or they aren't, and I think that it's possible that they're not, but that should be based on something. So are those two things that you think you'd have a little bit more information about next time?
Yes. I have in my hands is the draft of the financial statements. So I could probably provide them with some initial numbers for 2012. 2012, audited number.
Oh, okay. But at least we'd have the real audited numbers for 2012.
Right, and there's 2013, like I said, I could get some rough line by line, not a financial statement, but rather a each account, what we have year to date, and then maybe they could just... fill in the blanks for the remainder of the last 3 months.
I think even if it's rough, it would be a big help. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Michael, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, what I was going to say was I do think that the biggest chunk of that, not the entirety, but the out of completely out of line chunk was in the October fund drive when they offered the water purification system. And it was like a $200 premium that cost us over $100, and sold like hotcakes, quote unquote, because we're not selling it. But there were like a huge take on that, which resulted in an overwhelming expense. And I think the rest of them are close to being in line. Yeah. And the other impression I had from Anthony was that at some point, I think during this year, the depreciation was slashed dramatically, at least for our station, like cut in half or something, based on some correction.
That would be great. Okay. let's try to find out. But that would be great. And I do think that there's no doubt that the depreciation totals are going to come down in some amount. I just want to make sure this is the right amount.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah, the thing is sold like hotcakes because it was such a good price.
Yeah, that's
right. But anyway. Okay. So in a perfect world, it would be good to resolve this budget by the end of August. The reason being that we know New York and D.C. is going to come as well as all the national stuff. So the idea was that hopefully we could get through the California budgets, which were done more quickly than the East Coast budgets, in this sort of two-week period. And we've got a meeting on the 27th for KPFA. So taking a look at the calendar, let's see what we've got. Coordinating is tomorrow. KPFK local station board is Wednesday. PNB is Thursday. That's an exciting week. Okay. There's the weekend, which is kind of horrible. There's elections on Monday night, the 26th.
Yeah, minus.
Right. And BAI finance on the 29th. So it seems to me we have two choices. And none of them are good, but let's pick the least worst one for people. The first one is to go with Wednesday the 28th, and that would mean two finance committee meetings on two different budgets back to back, Tuesday and Wednesday, the 27th and the 28th.
Excuse me.
That's all.
I asked about the FRAT, and it isn't on this calendar, but Richard said it was scheduled.
Oh.
Remember last time?
Richard, is there any possibility that the FRAT could be postponed if the committee decided that we had to deal with KPFK's budget on the 28th?
I don't have any problem with it. I don't know
was it Carolyn?
Chair in that. Carolyn, I think.
Temporarily.
I think that makes sense. It's for 7:30 to 28th.
Yeah, the last FRAT meeting was not particularly... what's for it? Driven with great urgency. So I suspect they could probably reschedule to accommodate us. So let's keep it as an option. The other option is...
And we like that committee, like most everything else around it, sitting around heavy in anticipation of the audit. So we're all waiting for the audit. So
The other option, if you guys don't want to meet back-to-back, or we want to keep that 28th for the frat, is the bad option for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of thing.
Yuck.
Yeah, those are available, but they are what they are. So it's kind of an either-or, and let's just see what people want. We could do the 23rd. We could do the 30th.
Well, the 30th is the Labor Day weekend.
Oh, no. You're right. Okay. We could do Friday. That would give people a couple of days to think. It would give Raul 4 or 5 days to give us a little further information to the extent he can. But it means we have to spend our Friday night together.
Would Raul benefit from putting this off until the 28th?
Raul, would you have more stuff for us by the 28th than the 23rd?
Yeah, I should be these things that I just mentioned. I think I should readily produce. I should have some this premiums, depreciation, audited 2012, and some year-to-date numbers for 2013 through August. Based
on which date are you talking?
At which date?
Which day do you prefer, the 23rd or the 28th?
The 28th. I would send out information before then, as I get. So let me know who I should send it to. Did I send it to the LSB or?
No, you should send it to National Finance Committee at yahoogroups.com.
Okay.
Yes, I'd prefer the 28th.
Okay. We heard Barbara say yuck about Friday, so I'll take that as a vote.
Well,
is there anyone who has...
to have two nights with all of you, but I prefer to do what Raul can produce the most for us, and I think the 28th is a good idea.
Yeah, it's kind of the less bad option at this point. Is there anyone who wants to speak strongly in favor of Friday?
Yes, and I would go with the 28th also.
Okay. Then, Rich, you could give our apologies to the frat, and I will say something about it. I think we're going to boot them.
Okay, with me.
And just... Yeah? Okay, so we're going to pull rank and take the 28th, and...
And that's for continuing KPFK, correct?
Yes. I think for the purpose of sanity that it's really important that we only deal with, you know, as long as we can anyway, that we deal with one divisional budget in a given meeting because it's too much to switch back and forth between the budgets. I mean, it's crazy.
It's hard. It was hard to absorb all of Kim's comments. You know, it's like two sets here.
I know, and they just came like yesterday or Friday, or it was, I think it was actually yesterday. So that's a good reason to give ourselves a bit more time to try to do the right thing. Okay. So we will meet again on the 27th, which is our regularly scheduled fourth Tuesday. That is a regular meeting, but we're going to focus on the KPFA budget. The 28th will be the continuation of the KPFK budget. This is a reminder for WPFW and WBAI that your budgets are extended through the 31st. So we hope that you're making progress on them.
No, hold on. Ours, WBAI's, until September 12th.
Right. I'm sorry. WPFW is the 31st.
Yes, we have a finance committee meeting tomorrow to try to wrap it up.
Awesome. Good.
Good luck.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So thank you, everyone. We will meet again on the 27th. Raul, thank you very much for digging some stuff up for us to help us figure this out.
Question? Mark?
Yeah.
Marcus never got here, right?
No.
Unless he's being
very quiet.
He
said he'd be late, but we're ending now, so I just want to make sure he's not going to say, here I am. So, all right, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Okay, well, if it's 8 p.m. and he hasn't shown up yet, then he's out of luck.
And Manajay was not on the call, right?
Manajay was not on the call.
Manajay may not be back in the country yet.
Oh.
I may not. I think she's been abroad for a considerable period of time. But. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone. Yeah. KPFK, take one. And I'll see you all on the 27th. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.